for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, November the 26th, 2009. Richard Tate is the speaker of the evening, teaching on change, one step at a time.
So good to see you all. I have to say that. It really is. And seeing some old friends we haven't seen for a while, like Wayne, that was a surprise, just a real surprise, present surprise. We don't know what we're going to be sharing tonight. I got all these notes, but as most people who know me know, it doesn't really mean anything when I get up here. I've had a couple of thoughts. Lord, just help me. Help me, Jesus. You know, we want to hear from you. We're not really interested in hearing from me. We really need to hear from you, Lord. There's nothing like getting a word from you. Man, because it's alive. It does something inside of us. It lifes us. Thank you for what you're going to do this evening and in this camp, Lord. Just touch each one of us. Change us all. Man, do we need change in this day we're living in. Change us and we will be changed. Let us see what David saw so we can do what David did. And bring down Goliath in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about the stars. About how there's billions and billions and trillions and killions. Killions, that's another one. Out there, you know. And the thought really hit me, you know. We don't know why they're out there. They're just stars. They're nice to see. But you know, every one of them, every single one of those trillions have a reason for being there. Because God doesn't do things without a reason. He doesn't bring things into being without a reason. So, our problem is, lots of times, we just don't know the reason. We're a little short-sighted. We're not able to handle probably the reason many times. In our lives, there's lots of things we want to know and God can't let us know right now. Sometimes he can't let us know, period, because we're just not able to take it. We're not able to comprehend it. We're not able to deal with it. Some of you know he spoke to me about something a couple weeks ago in my own life. And I was, all right. And he said, it's not time. There's things I want to deal with first. Because if we deal with this now, without dealing with these other things first, you may have a bad time on down the road. And it may just get you. So I said, well, let's just go with your plan. You know, I would like to be freer, but I don't want to get destroyed in the process. Another thing, we've heard a lot about breakthrough. And I was thinking about this the other day. The real question is, you know, do we want breakthrough or do we want breakout? Because I find in a lot of places that people who are crying for breakthrough, what they really want, they want out of what they're in. You know, breakthrough does not get you out of what you're in. It makes you able to deal and be victorious in where you're at. I don't find many people looking for that one. We're all looking for breaking through and out, man, where it's gone. It's behind me. I don't have to deal with it anymore. I go on to something bigger and better, and I can be more victorious. And because of that, we have people that travel, I mean, travelers. They don't miss a meeting anywhere. All looking for this thing that's going to get them out of the situation that they're in. You know, then God has to go create another situation so that he can get them in there again because he's wanting to do a sanctifying work in our lives. He's wanting to change us. Amen. Another thought I had was, I have to go to Scripture. I don't want to get out of it, really. It might throw me right out of here. It was 20, was it? Some elders up there in heaven somewhere? Was it 24? They were up there. I was wondering, are there chairs in heaven? And I could only find realistically 25. I could find the throne, and I could find the ones that the 24 elders sit on. Because we have a, you know, I'm wondering, we'll be sitting around, are we all going to say, you know, I want to worship God, but I kind of like it reclined. I like to rest that way. Sometimes it's really good just to lay back and just, you know, worship God. But I mean, everybody else is standing and just, and I'm sitting down here and I'm worshiping God. It's just, you know, He's a king. He's not the butler. He's not the maid. He's a king. And we don't give Him reverence. We don't bow. Sometimes I don't think we really want to know who He is, because to know who He really is, then that means we've got to make some changes ourselves. He's not going to do it all for us. In the old days, John the Baptist said, I must decrease and He must increase. And to have that fulfilled, John the Baptist didn't do it, have to do anything more or less than what he was doing. He was just making a statement. I must increase and I must decrease and He must increase. It was a fact. Whatever, no matter what he did, that was going to happen. In our time, God reaches down through His Son and He saves us, fills us with His Spirit, and then He begins to sanctify us. But not without us. We're partnered with Him. And sometimes I think we either are letting Him or wanting Him to do all the work, or we're wanting to do all the work. We have a hard time partnering with Him, because that means we have to send some sort of agreement. And God's not big on Him changing. When He sets His heart on a thing, on a matter, He pretty much stays with that. He doesn't deviate much. It may look like sometimes that, you know, you're going farther away from the mountain. You want to go up to the mountaintop, but it seems like you're heading the wrong way. But really, it's the best way to get to where He wants to bring us to. He's looking for people who will be obedient. He's looking for a group of people who will humble themselves. Most of us know how we are. At least we know how we think we are. And sometimes, somehow we equate knowing how we are with it being who we are. And because of that, we're governed by our environment. What happens around us influences one way or the other. When we're doing good, I'm a man of God. I'm a warrior. I'm indestructible. I said that a few times. May have been a big mistake, because it wasn't 10 minutes until I found out how indestructible I really was. Some little thing came along and bam, just spilled my cup of blessing all over everywhere. And let people know it was spilled. And when we're doing bad, we're not just doing bad, we are bad. We climb on our case, you know, and the whole demonic group over there, they're just clapping their hands because they don't have to do nothing anymore. We're doing it for them. We're just beating ourselves up and telling ourselves who we are and how bad we are and we're no good. And, you know, I don't think that was the reason or purpose that God made each one of us. I don't think He makes bad things. He makes good things. We make bad things out of good things, but He makes good things. He loves you. He had a reason. I think of those stars. Billions, and yet each one of those stars, He had a reason for bringing it into being. Personal with Him, just like it is with you. Personal. Very personal. We often talk about if you were the only person here, He'd die for you and walk with you. That's true. And sometimes, in our walk with Him, it really has to come down to that. You really have to cut your losses. You really have to say, just, man, I mean, I can live without anything, but Jesus, I can't live without You. I just cannot live without You. I'm not sure how great my feelings are towards You, but I know I can't live without You. I can live without anything else, but not You. Because You're the only one that really lets me know and makes me feel like I'm really secure. Like I really don't have to worry. Like these wrinkles really don't have to be there. I could be without them. I got these when I fucking say it. They don't go away, but I mean, I want you to know, after I got saved, no wrinkles, no worries. Lord, help me. Well, not worries that He couldn't take care of. Moses, it says, was the meekest man on the face of the earth. That's in Numbers 12:3. And the word meek, it's amazing. It translates pretty much meek or humble. And I kind of think humble is a really good word for him, because he didn't fight. You know, he never got him fighting with anybody. He didn't fight with his brother and sister when they were upstaging him and trying to take over. He prayed for him. He didn't fight. He was at peace with his environment. That doesn't mean that his environment had overcome him. And that's what we kind of equate that with. If you're at peace, you're not fighting, you must have surrendered. You must have given into it. His environment had not overcome him, but it was no longer affecting him. He could affect his environment. We see Jesus, I'm always amazed at that little concern he had for the Roman government. He didn't have any concern for him. I mean, he just, you know, we're sitting in a place and we're all concerned because they're raising our taxes and taking away our liberties and all that, and we're very upset about it. And here he was in a land that was ruled with an iron fist. I mean, they didn't have a say, and yet he had no concern at all. You know, I think, and I've said this before, I think one of these days we're going to decide where our citizenship really is. And we're not going to be allowed to have that dual stuff we like so well. It's going to come down to that. Pick here or here. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world, so it doesn't really make any difference what happens here. Naturally, it does not affect my kingdom at all. Can't touch my kingdom. Can it touch yours? Can it touch mine? Where is our citizenship? Is it here or is it there? We're coming into days where there's going to be defining. Listen, they're just starting to come after us. Just a bit. Wait till they get some power to do it. Wait till they get some really good laws. They're coming. Because we're the only threat in this place. We are the threat. We are the threat. We are the enemy, really are. Because we come to spoil their camp. We come to spoil the angelic beings who rule over them, who they give themselves over to. God says, I'm going to have a people who are going to do it. And they're not going to worry about whether they got a big car, a little car, or no car. They don't need cash for clunkers. You know, they don't care. It's immaterial to them concerning what they're doing in God. Now you're here. I'm here. We're all here, really, for change. Like Glenn said, I don't think anybody's coming here, Patty, for a vacation. This would not be the place I'd come. I would come on vacation in between meetings, maybe. But I wouldn't come to vacation on a camp because it's pretty intense. Like they said, 6 o'clock in the morning, that's the place you want to be. If you're serious about change, that's where you want to be. You want to be there at 6. Believe me. If you're not serious about change, probably 8 or 10 o'clock meeting is pretty good. You know, but if you really want change, that's the place to start because it sets your whole day. You know, it forms your whole attitude towards the rest of the day. What's going to happen? How open I am? Because you'll find out early in the morning whether you're really open or not. You close early, not going to be much good the rest of the day. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what we're all about. The kingdom of God says, the word of God says, the kingdom of God is within us. We have to deal with that. The change comes little by little. Some of you we'll have big changes. Some of you will have little ones. Some will have complete. Some will have partials. But it's a process. When we get back home, things may not look any different in our environment. But we may be changed. And when we're changed, then people are going to see that environment is not really affecting us like it used to. The wife or the husband, the neighbor, the job, the boss, things that, you know, the enemy could really use to just take our victory, just knock us down, just won't be able to have that real snap it used to have. And that bothers people. It intrigues them. It makes them wonder. But it bothers them because they see that something has happened to you, that you're different. You're not trying to be different. You can't help being different. Something literally happened to you inside. You see that when you get saved. Lose all your friends. Pretty much. pretty hard to keep any of those non-Christian friends because they don't want to hear about Jesus. You lose your friends, and it seems like every time God picks you up and moves you on, you lose people. How many of you know that? God starts to deal with your life and move you on. Man, you're going to lose some friends. It's painful. This is not the... What did Jesus... I said Jesus didn't do that. Jesus never promised you happiness. I know some translation like to put that word in. It's not in the Greek. It's not in the Hebrew. He promised you joy. Happiness... That's an environmental thing because the environment affects your happiness. When things are great, you feel happy. When things are not great, you feel sad, you feel unhappy, you feel negative feelings. But joy, that's down in there. It can't be bothered by the environment. It's not concerned about happy things or bad things or good things. It's just there. And when we let it, it kind of bubbles up sometimes. Just kind of gets beyond you. Sometimes it's kind of embarrassing. But it does it because it's there. You have it. You don't try to manufacture it. You don't have to make it happen. It happens. God's looking for that in a people today because we're coming into some very trying times. But also defining times. Remember the scripture said, let those that are unholy be unholy still. Let those that are holy be holy. Well, I like to read it this way. Let those that are unholy get more unholy. Let those that are holy become more holy. Because everything's going their direction. It may not feel like it. We sing to sing that song little by little. I don't know how many of you know. Little by little. Every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. Sometimes it's slow going. But there's one thing I'm knowing. One day perfect I will be. Because He doesn't give up. And all He's asking for me, yield and not give up. Yield and not give up. Just put one foot in front of the other, whether you feel like it or not, because you're walking with Him. I used to use this scripture, my favorite non-scripture, Jesus never ran. Because we're always running. The enemy's always trying to get us to run. Either do it all, or don't do nothing. One or the other. Never any balance in your life. Either you're on top of the world, or we're underneath it. Jesus said, no, I just want balance. Just walk. I'm not going to run off. You know, I've learned with my wife since she cracked her kneecap. We got to walk a little slower. Now, I'm not a slow walker. But I've learned I got to take real teeny steps and I got to real slow. I got to make sure she's at least with me and maybe a little bit ahead of me for it to be comfortable for her. If I'm a little bit ahead of her, it doesn't work out for either one of us at all because number one, she's pushing my arm down. Number two, I'm dragging her. It just doesn't work. And I find out we don't get anywhere. We have to stop because she can't walk. And then I get upset. And so I said, I've got to do this thing to her. I'm just going slow to where she can at least stay up with me. And I think that's what Jesus does. He said He walks at the pace of the slowest one. He doesn't want any of us to get behind. And if He walks too fast, some of us will. So He does it. He stays nice and slow. We try to run. We either get ahead, you know, we're going to do it all for the Lord. And then we get out there and can't hear nothing, can't see nothing, nothing but enemies, no help. And then we're crying out, help me, save me, Jesus. And isn't it amazing how He's right there? Right now, bam, instantly. You cry, He's there. I'm saying, how come I waited so long? Why did I wait so long? I'm miserable for 4 days here. Why didn't I just say, Lord, help me? Because when I did, He was there. Took a hold of me, helped me, gave me a word, fixed me up, brushed me off, and away we went. I said, you know, do I like misery that bad that I'm hanging out there? What's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Don't answer that, Patty. Because He's in the building business. He's in the changing business. Little by little. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. That gives a scripture that says that. In fact, in Mark 2:22, it says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. Now that's pretty good. I found, especially in this day, and in this country, I can't speak for any other countries, but I think we're leading them. I look at China and Africa and Indonesia and some of those places, and those people, you know, they're going through it. They're in it. They're in what I call real Christianity. They're really in there. They're not dealing with whether they got a headache or feel good or their rent ain't paid. No, they're dealing with whether they're going to live or not, whether they can get to a meeting sometimes or not. I remember a friend that was in Vietnam. He says, they rode me from meeting to meeting in this little motor scooter, this motorcycle. He said, and the guy was a maniac just through the jungles, because if they got caught, they were just so much dead. That's all. So they had to do this stuff at night, and they had to do it in the secret. He said, I rode all over. He said, I don't know if I'd ever want to go back there again. He said, scary. Because not only are you afraid he's going to wreck you, if they get you, you're just done. Nobody's going to miss you. Nobody knows where you're at. You're just in Vietnam somewhere. And this was after the fall. So those people, they got some real things they're dealing with. It's some real refining processes. And I believe God's going to bring those to our country so that we can have a chance to not end up being lukewarm, sort of ho-ho-ho people. You know, that we can be in the mix with everybody else so that we don't miss out, so that we don't come up second best or third best or fourth best. I think one problem we're having in this country, I think we've kind of created our own wineskin. I really believe that. We've kind of put a little bit of the stuff of God in there, and then we put a little bit of the stuff of the world in there, and it's comfortable. We're pretty spiritual around people. Kind of let them know that I've kind of got it. And yet, on the other hand, I'm enjoying the good life. God is blessing me, and I check my blessing by how big my bank account is, how big my house is, how my car is doing, how my boat's doing. That's how God's blessing me. And it's an illusion, because it has absolutely nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It just doesn't have anything to do with it. It's immaterial to what's really happening with our life, with the real citizenship of where we really are. I don't think God's going to allow it to stand. You know, I'm not so sure if all this stuff that's going on right now is about abortion or about us. Because we don't seem to be listening too good. We're still wanting it. We're going to protest. We protest everything. And I'm not against that stuff. If God tells you to do it, do it. But I'm pretty iffy about doing things when God doesn't tell me to do them anymore. He kind of brought me up on that one time. We always had this thing, and I'm probably the only one that ever had this, where, you know, if the door opened, I went. You want that door closed? Shut it. I took an open door for a yes. Well, one day I was praying, and as everybody knows, I talk this way. I was minding my own business, just praying and minding my own business. And God said, how about we start a new program? And I said, oh, sure, I'm ready. That's feeling pretty good. He said, how about if I don't say yes, that means no from now on? I said, what? How about if I don't say yes to those doors, it means no? I thought, man, I ain't going to be able to do nothing. I never had to hear anything. The door opened, I went. I didn't have to hear any yes, no, indifferent, I'm gone. I said, no, from now on. If I don't say yes, that means no. That means you don't go, no matter who's pressing you, no matter what's open, no matter what's in front of you and the glory and all this stuff, you don't go. I thought, man, that's going to change my whole life. And it has. It has. I've become very conservative. Very conservative. About those things. God, if you want it done, you make it happen. I used to think that that was a bad way to pray, and you get yourself in real trouble praying that prayer. That really didn't show your faith. It didn't show you knew anything, or you really was on fire for God. If you are, you get out there and do it. But I come to the conclusion it really worked good for me. It really worked many times. I mean, things opened up that I would have really jumped in a minute. And then God wouldn't say nothing. And that meant, no. I'm trying to get a little tweak. Nothing's happening. Nothing. So I said, okay, I guess I'll just have to die to this. You know? Golly. And how am I going to look? That's the other one we get. How's it going to make me look to everybody else? Gee, my knee. Things open up and this guy doesn't want to do anything. I said, well, you've got to take that with the territory. Sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be that way. You know, I remember in Reese Howell's book, Intercession, I know you've all read that, where the first healing or something he had anyway, and the person died anyway. And the Lord showed him the person has to be a failure. Because that way you won't have any pride. From then on, we can go. You're going to look like you were a failure the first time. That will take care of the problem with you. And then we can go on. We won't have to worry about that problem. And I thought, how real that is with myself. How very real. Because I'm just a man. The best of us are just men. If God's anointing is not on us, we're just people walking around trying to do what we think we should do. When His anointing is on us, man, it's a different life. A different life. And He wants it for each one of us. I mean, for you. Reba, for you. He wants that. I'm telling you, He wants that for you. I could cry over that. He wants that, Reba, for you. So bad. That's His heart's desire. For you to walk in total victory. With no pressures to push you. You're pushing the pressures ahead of you and out of your way. That's what He wants. He's got such a love for us that's beyond anything. I think that's one of the things that handicaps us in a sense. His love is so beyond us that we can't deal with it sometimes. It's so powerful. It's so we can't imagine someone loving anyone completely. No matter who we love, there's always something there. There's always something there. Your child runs out in the middle of the street. You're going, but there's always something there. There's always something there. But His love is just complete. It just flows because He cares. Life is made up for us, and this is outside of ministry, and yet many times it's within ministry, of lessons and tests, lessons and tests, lessons and tests. The school of the Holy Spirit doesn't have a summer vacation. You may go on vacation, but the school doesn't go on vacation. And many times, you know, my wife used to get upset with me when we were first married. I said, well, I want a vacation from everything. No more problems. Just drive my car, fish, have a good time. She looked at me like, you're crazy. You know, God doesn't have any days off. You don't have that kind of a program. And I found out as we went with her, she was all her fault. I didn't have those days off for my vacation. And then I found out I didn't have them off when I faced myself. He runs us through lessons. And the thing about this wineskin that we created so we can have kind of a comfortable life and be spiritual and all that stuff and still not have to pay too much is that we don't mind lessons. Because usually when you're going through something, people around you have an idea. It's pretty hard to keep this stuff, you know, smiley, when you're going through it. People can tell you're going through something. So that's pretty spiritual because only spiritual people go through stuff, you know, really heavy stuff. That's okay. We just don't like the test. We don't like it when it comes up against us. And because we have one of the things we have that's really, really bad, we have this thing where we either fail or we pass. You know, did you pass the test? What does that mean, did you pass the test? Because my understanding is, this is just grade one of a long, long school. So passing the test just doesn't get me out of the school. It just gets me out of this grade. But I had this inspiration. I'll call it inspiration. About 30-folds and 60-folds and 100-folds. And the thing that got me was you do the lesson and you do as good as you can, or sometimes you don't do as good as you can. You just kind of do it. And sometimes our attitudes are not right towards what God's got us in and what He's teaching us. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we don't see the purpose in it. Sometimes it's not meaningful to us. And for one reason or another, we come out and we get a 30. It's not about passing or failing. It's about what score you got. Because the only really good score is 100. I mean, let's face it. If you got 60, man, you're still 40% loser. Now that's no way to go. So I found that there's two types of people, probably more, but two for sure. The first type of people, he got the 30%. He says he's just glad to get out. He didn't care. I flunked, pass, whatever. I get the 30%. I'll take that. That's fine with me. Just don't want to go through this no more. The other group is not happy with where they're at. But they know in themselves they can't change it. The only thing they can do, and this is the thing that really hit me, was they can cry to go through it again. Cry out to God. Take me through this lesson again that I can get a better score. Don't leave me where I am. Don't let me stay in the outer court. Don't let me stay in the holy place. I want to be with you. I want to be in the Holy of Holies. Not as a high spiritual thing. I just want to be there because that's where you are. And I can't get there at 30%. I can't get there at 60%. So run me through again. Now, a problem comes in that moment. And the problem is, okay, God heard us, and I know He heard me, and I know He's pleased with that. So I'm expecting tomorrow for the lesson to start all over again. And tomorrow, it doesn't happen. In fact, tomorrow something else happens. And I'm off on another class doing something else. And I'm wondering what happened. Now, I have to be careful because it's very easy then to get discouraged, disqualify myself, say, forget that. I'll just forget that course altogether because it's obvious I didn't make it and I'm not getting a rerun. It's not going to happen for me. I'm just done. So that's it. But that's not the way it works because everything is within the sovereignty of His will. Tomorrow, He may have another class that He wants to start running you through. Another lesson. Believe me, He won't forget about this one. In its proper time, He will bring you back around. And there will be. It ain't leaving. It's coming. Even for those who say 30% fine, but I don't want no more of this. It's coming again because He loves us so much. He's not going to leave us where we're at, if at all possible. Like it or not, He's going to bring it. May as well say, Lord, bring it. Because He's going to bring it anyway. Because He doesn't want us in the outer court either. He wants us in there with Him. He wants His children with Father. He wants us with Him. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is more determined to get us there than we are to go there. He wants us with Him. He doesn't want you to be a loser. He doesn't want you to be a failure. But only in His kingdom. He's not concerned about what men think about you, how they see you. All He's concerned about is how you stand with Him. The kingdom of God is made up of three things, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, we got those three together. Now that's it. See, and we want righteousness, peace, joy, happiness, you know, cars, boats. We want a lot of other stuff in there too. He said, no, just those three things. Keep those three things right. Keep yourself in right standing with God. Keep this thing vertical right. And forget about this thing out here being right. We're continuously trying to make this thing horizontal thing right, hoping somehow it's going to get this thing right. We're continuously trying to get things straightened out on the horizontal, thinking that somehow they're going to make some difference in the vertical. But they don't. Life only comes down from heaven above. It comes down and then it goes out. And it has to go out in your sphere of influence through you. You are there for a reason. And if for a reason, then He has to have you there for a purpose. There was a reason for Him bringing us into being. There's a purpose for us being here. And there's an end to the purpose. He's just looking for us to become obedient. Just to yield. Not may I. What was that thing? Maybe. We sing a song and we use the word may in it. And I'm thinking, we sing a song, may my spirit yield. And I said, that's an option. Because the King James says, does my spirit yield, which means does. It does yield. And there's a big difference between something that does yield and something that may yield, because something that may yield means somewhere you've got an option yet. You're like, I'm on that side, but I'm hoping it's going to work out. But when you say, my spirit does yield, that's a done deal. It's good. It's happening. And He's not looking for us to take options. He's looking for us to be positive and say, I am here. I will be obedient. No matter what it costs. And it's going to cost. We talk about the sacrifice of praise. Man, sometimes it does. It hurts to praise God. Things are going bad. And the scripture can help. Thank God for all things. Oh, brother. Man, that's a short one, but that's brutal. Thank God for all things. Or the one that I always give. What's the one? God is good. What, all the time? That's one. All the time. I don't even say that. That terrifies me. You know. It does, because then when somebody smacks me, I got to say, "Oh, God is good." I ain't thinking God's good at all. I'm not happy with my situations. So I think God is good every time I get in a fix. Lord, you're good to come get me. You're good to get me out of here. You're good to wipe me off, get my feet on solid ground. I thank you, Jesus, that I have an opportunity to come to you and get my feet washed every now and then. Because there's no way I can walk in this earth without getting dirt on my feet. I just can't do it. And I need to get a foot washing. Not so much from my brother. We used to have that in our church. But from you, I need a foot wash. I need to come just wash my feet. Cleanse me anew. Save me today. I think you need to get saved every day. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Start on the morning. Lord, save me. Clean me. Get me ready. Make sure I'm all right for today. Because I know I have a younger brother that, and he's not a Christian. He's in all kinds of funny stuff. And he has the good side and the bad side, tell me. And he keeps track. He said, "I've never had a day yet where the good outdid the bad." I thought, man, what a way to live. With a list. And that tells you at the end of the day what kind of a person you are by how the list is doing. And if the list doesn't have more positives than negatives on it, then you're not doing good. And he never has had a good day. I thought, what kind of a life is that to live? And then we were in a restaurant. It got worse. We're in a restaurant, a Chinese restaurant. They had fortune cookies, and he gave me a fortune. I said, "I don't read those things." He said, "Don't." I said, "I don't. Get out of here. I don't read those things." He said, "I live by them." And before I knew it, I said, "My God." He said, "My God, his God's a fortune cookie." I mean, it just went right out there. Goodness. This guy had his own computer company, software stuff. These guys are brilliant. He's living by fortune cookies. I can't buy it. And he wasn't kidding. That was the thing that really bothered. Well, I just pray for him. You know, Lord, open his eyes. I said, I don't think anybody's going to get to him. The only thing that's going to get to him is if you reveal yourself to him and show him who you are. Because if he don't see you, you know, he just seems to be open to every kind of wild, weird thing that comes by. Anything. It's scary, but how many people live like that? How many Christians go to check the horoscope out just for fun? It's sad. It's sad. God must weep sometimes just looking at us. What are they trying to do down there? What are they up to? I know everything, but I can't figure this out. What are they doing? I give them the right way, the right path. I give them all the help I can give them, and they're just walking around like they're like this. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to admit that we don't know everything. We don't really want help. Except when we're in inconvenient places. Jesus has to increase. In order for him to increase in us, we have to make some room. You know, when he saved us, there's that spot we all know about. You know, there's that place inside of you that God made for himself. And everybody tries to fill it with everything else. But it's for him. And when he saves us, he takes that spot. But there's that whole rest of that kingdom in there that he wants. All that land that he wants to take in you and in me. He wants it all. He didn't die for 30% or 60%. He died for the whole enchilada. He wants us all of us. Body, soul, and spirit. Because that's the way he made us. And that's what he died for. He didn't die for 40% or 60%. He died for us all. But we have to yield. He wants to work with us, but he wants us to be yielded to him so he can bring the changes, because there are people out there that we don't even know that are depending on the work that he's trying to do in us to give them a word that they can change their life on. The world needs to see Jesus. I know that when you leave here this week, that you'll be different than you were when you came. I mean, I know that. It's not a hoping thing. Now, I have to be balanced. You can be better good or better bad, depending on whether you're open. If you're not open, you can go away better worse. You know, bitter. God, people know what they're doing, what's going on here. That's all that's wrong. I ain't going for this stuff. And you go away worse, but you go away changed. Because that's the way it works. There's no neutral here. Believe me, there's no neutral here. Not that anybody hears anything, but Jesus is something in this place. He's a dealer with men's souls and hearts here. And when you get all cleaned up and get rid of all that demonic stuff and everything, fine. Then you got to go back and face all them other things that are still right there where you left them. They ain't changed. They haven't gone. They're still waiting for you in there. So you think something happened to you, huh? Well, let me show you how. Nothing happened to you. That happened. It don't make any difference to me what happened with you. Because I know what happened in me. And that's all that's really important is what happened inside of me. Not my environment and what's cooking on the outside, trying to influence my insides. My insides are going to influence the outside from now on. I'm not going to try to change things. Things are going to change. Jesus didn't run around trying to change things. He walked around and changed things. It just happened. He didn't run around and grab, hey, can I pray for you, buddy? You know, he just walked along and people got in his way. They got in his way. They felt something, saw something, and you know, I mean, it must be something. You put your life online in front of all these people, you know. You can heal me. But they did. They did. It's no different with you. And I'm saying that from here, from a guy that doesn't do it either. But it's no different with you. It's our yielding to Him and allowing Him to do the little things that are really big to us, but they're small little increment things that He does that lets us. This little life that we have inside, it's His, it's eternal, lets it come out a little bit. Just come out and touch somebody. Not us trying to touch them, just touch it. Just being kind to someone. I found out this week that we go to this restaurant, and my waitress was saying something to me. Oh, what am I going to do today? I said, we're going to start a camp meeting. Camp meeting, where are you at? Oh, Lake Hamlin Camp. You know, I lived there for 2 or 3 years with my mother and my sisters. Right up there where Ron used to live. Or no, no, where Sister Post lives. That's where they live. Her and her sister back here. Knows Glenn real well. She's my waitress in the restaurant. I mean, I thought, what a small world this is. I mean, I thought, well, did it do anything to you? Did anything happen while you were there? Well, I was just a kid growing up. But it's amazing. But I think there's going to be opportunities with her and out of. Now that we know we got things in common, there's going to be opportunities with her to maybe share it. Because she just had a baby and got married and had a child and life's changed. Her whole life has changed. So maybe God's going to open up ways. And I'm conservative. I'm not going to push things, but I'm going to try to keep myself open. And if God says, just say this little word, just to say the little word, even though that little thing he says to say, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, oh, if I say this, it doesn't make any sense. But he knows. He knows what's in that person. He knows what that person is going to respond to. And it's amazing when you do that little thing, that you get a response, not a reaction most of the time. Something will happen. God will make a way. God will build a step. God will do something when we're obedient. And when we do that, see, we're kicking a little ground out here. We're making a little more room in here. So he can put a little more of himself in here. It's little by little. You know, it's not going to be this big blast in the past and away we go. It's little by little. But he does it when we yield that ground, when we'll be a little obedient. He's not asking for big steps to evangelize the world. He's just asking for one step at a time. Be obedient. And in these meetings, be obedient. Listen, be obedient. Come open. Really. Don't have to come open or hoping. Just come open. Just be open. Be available. Let Him do a work. Let Him bring changes that you know, that you want. We all want to be changed or we wouldn't be here. Me, myself included. I want change. I want change in the worst kind of way. I am not happy with me. At all. At all. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate that. Word of encouragement. God is going to have a people. And there's a whole lot. I mean, there's a whole lot of places got no name tags there yet. It isn't like everything's set. There are some things that are set, but it isn't like everything. There's a whole lot of places there for people. Whosoever will. He that overcometh. You know, he offered the greatest gifts to the lowest church. I said, how does that work? I don't know how it works, but I know he did it. So I know if he did it, it's true. So that says, there's got to be hope for me then. If he's offering those people, I mean, I know they're lower than I am. I'm not really there yet. I said, there's got to be hope for me then. There's got to be a spot. He says, there's a lot of places with no names in those places yet. He says, he that overcomes. And he says, the first one you got to overcome, this guy right here. But I'll help you. If you're willing and obedient. And I'm going to give my close of my scripture from the book of maybe Isaiah, chapter 1. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. And the word well there really means learn to do good. Now, we're never trying to learn to do good. We're trying to do good without ever ceasing to do evil. But he says, stop doing it. Try a day doing that. Don't try doing any good. Just try to stop doing the bad stuff you do. You know, like what do you mean bad stuff? I'm a Christian. Well, how about those thoughts? How about that anger? Oh, nobody knows it but you. But you got it. How about that resentment? How about that judgmental spirit you got? Why don't you just give that a rest for a day? Just try that for a day. Then he says, you know, then you don't start doing good. And I love that. It says, learn to do good. It's a learning process. In Hebrews 5, it says, those who through experience have learned how to tell the difference between good and evil. It's a learning experience with us. There's a great lessons you can learn this weekend here. In the meetings and in your experiences, believe me, there's great lessons that you can learn that you'll be able to use with other people countless times. People will come to you, you'll be surprised, to want help, and you won't understand why in the world they're coming to me. Why me? See? Because they saw something in you. They saw something that you don't see yourself. You look in the mirror and you see, oh my goodness. They look and they say, there's something different about that person. I mean, there's something really different. Different, really different. And it draws people. Because people are hurting. People are hurting. Not just from jobs. People are, I think that's a small part. People are hurting inside. Especially in our country. You know, there's a lot of pain. Because you see this aggression. You know, I have this saying, hurting people hurt people. You know, well, that was an eye-opener for me. Hurting people hurt people. Boy, that gave me a whole different perspective about people that I've been involved with, especially one young man. Anyway, he said, just get me all the time. I just, why? On the job, we were partners. On the job, he just tweaked me all the time because I was his boss. Well, it didn't get any better when after I retired, his best friend became the boss. He treated him exactly the same way. But, you know, that didn't help me. It didn't help me until I heard this. And I thought, he must really be in pain. You know, when that thing hit me, how much pain he must be in to do this to people he's close with. And I thought, I gotta pray for him. I can't be mad at him anymore. I can't be angry anymore because I can see the pain from his action. Just show me how much pain he's in. And I begin to pray for him. I don't know whatever happened. He's 2,000 miles away. But I pray for him. And the Lord just touch him because he's in such pain. What a way to live your life. We have the answer. Really, in some respect, you are the answer. You're the one that Jesus put between him and them. To show himself to them, that they can see him in another human being. Not walking on water, just being different. Just not being overwhelmed by the things that seem to overwhelm everybody else. Let him change you this week. Let him really dig down deep and bring some great deliverances in your life and touch your heart. So you can go home and say, I went and I got changed. Not by Lake Hamilton. By Jesus! I went. Jesus was there. He met me and he changed me. Oh, that's my prayer for all of you. Father God, you are the God of change. You don't change, but you change everything. Change us, Lord. Like David said, change me and I will be changed. I can't do it myself. I'm having a nervous breakdown trying. I'm sick of trying. Change us, Lord. We will be changed. Help us, Father, to get up early in the morning, to be here at 6 o'clock, Lord. Start our day with a good session. So just open ourselves up and get it right. We only got a couple, 3 days. Let's don't waste them, Father. Help us not to. Help us to get by all that stuff. I know it's easy to sleep in, and I like sleeping, but this is a place to be at 6. And help us, Lord, to be in all the services. Get everything we can. And can everything we get. And let you do a work and change us. Bring deliverance to your people, Father. And bring healing also. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.